You see, God is not condemning wealth. And I think sometimes we can get that impression. He's not condemning wealth, and he's not praising being poor. Poverty doesn't make a person pious. Oh, I'm so broke. I'm so godly. No, not necessarily. And riches doesn't make a person righteous. But you see, back in Paul's day, that's what they thought. The richer you were, the more righteous you were. And how poor you were, it shows that God, he disdained you. But not true. Not at all true.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the book of James, chapter 5.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
We want to look at the first six verses here and faith's ability and power over finances. I know that could be a big deal for a lot of us, especially starting out. I know me and my wife having three kids and me being a surfer and out in the water all the time and having a surfboard business and not making much. But back in those days, things were pretty cheap. When a gallon of gas was like 32 cents a gallon, when you buy a home and it was under $22,000, your mortgage was $150. So back then, things were pretty cheap. But still, it was hard to make a living for us with the kids. And so I understand that. And I understand the whole financial part of a person's life, whether you're single or married, whether you have no kids or a lot of kids, it can be tough. And one of the things that we find here in James talks about finances. Now, he deals with those who are trying to get rich, financially rich, and yet they're getting rich off the backs of others. They're not doing stuff right. Maybe that doesn't apply to anyone here, or maybe it doesn't apply to anyone listening, but it's really good teaching for all of us. It's a reminder because there are principles here that we need to abide by. And when we look at the end, I'll give you four principles that are so important for everyone. Whether you're doing really good or whether you're struggling really bad, these principles, I think, are very important. So let me read the first six verses of James chapter 5, and then we'll get into this, faith and finances. It says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up for your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which were withheld by you cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth," or host, "the Lord of hosts. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you." Father, we pray that you would bring clarity for this. It almost seems as though those that have got money, they're not in good graces with you. But that's not the point. It's those that are using others, that are dominating over others in an unrighteous way to gain. and gain off of them. And so I do pray, Lord, that you teach us from this passage, Lord, and bring us in to the truths of our financial responsibility to you, whether you've given much or whether it's little. In Jesus' name, amen. So when it comes to money and it comes to finances, wealth is just a commodity. It's a commodity like anything else, and it's neutral. You might think, well, this guy's rich. He's like a millionaire, a billionaire. I heard now there's one trillionaire. And maybe you heard that. Is he the Google guy? Bezos? I'm not sure which guy it is, but a trillionaire? Really, what can you do with all that? But you see, it's neutral. It's what you do with it that determines whether it's good or it's evil, it's bad. That's the idea here. You see, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. It's the love of money. You might not have any money, but if you have the love of money, that's the evil part of it. And then you might have a lot, and that's not the passion of your life. Somehow you just have the ability to, you know, make it work for you, and you have a lot. You see, the point is, it's the love of money. It's the passion for the money. It's the attitude. A lot of us, it's not so much the love of money, but the lack of money that is the root of all evil. But what we find here in Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the portion that is my due, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be in want and steal and profane your name." So here, those at the high end of the spectrum, "Oh, I got so much. Who's God? I don't need God now. I'm rich." Or, you know, you're at the bottom and you're stealing, you know, to try to get by. "Lord, you feed me with a portion, with what I can handle, what you want to give me, and let me be a good steward of that." It's really what that proverb is saying. You see, I've heard, have you ever heard that expression, "Money talks"? Well, for a lot of us, money has said goodbye. You know, if it talks, bye-bye, you know, if we're not good stewards of that money. You see, James is putting money and wealth in the proper perspective, and we need that proper perspective by showing the futility of living a life whose primary goal is to get rich. Because some people never get rich, but that is all they've lived for. They're looking for the next deal, you know, the next opportunity. They keep losing it. I know people like that. I had actually one of my mentors was just like that. And he left the Lord and he owned a couple of these clubs in Waikiki. And boy, did he take a turn for the worse. You see, when that's your goal, when that's what you're living for, primary goal being riches. And so what James is going to do, he's going to show how wealth can run a person's life and actually ruin their character. It's not just having it, but what it does to you when you live for that wealth. How it just really takes that character, takes that personality, that one that trusts in that wealth to make them something that God has never intended for them to be. And it just really turns them in a wrong direction. Maybe you've seen that. I know I have. Notice that in these passages we read that "you" and "your" are used some 19 times to show how self-absorbed this man is, or this illustration that James is telling us is. And that's what happens when a person becomes consumed with wanting wealth. It's that supreme desire of their life. It's me, my. I'm the one at the center of my life. And notice here, cheating others is mentioned as a part of the goal to get rich. It's not just that they have it, but notice how they live their life to get it. They stepped on others. They used others to get it. You see, when a person leaves God out of the equation of life, ignoring Him in business dealings, and in financial planning, then greed, corruption, deceit will fill that void. Fill that void in their life. Actually, in verse 13 to 17, remember what it said? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. And then he just goes on and says, your life is like a vapor. You know, in the midst of your greed, you're taken away. And what do you have to show for it? Then who's gonna spend what you've earned or what you didn't earn? You see, God is not condemning wealth. And I think sometimes we can get that impression. He's not condemning wealth and he's not praising being poor. He's not doing that at all. You see, poverty doesn't make a person pious. Oh, I'm so broke. I'm so godly. No, not necessarily. And riches doesn't make a person righteous. But you see, back in Paul's day, that's what they thought. The richer you were, the more righteous you were. And how poor you were, it shows that God, he disdained you. But not true. Not at all true. You see, Abraham in the Old Testament, he was a very wealthy man, and yet he walked with God. There are very wealthy people that walk with God. Letourneau. Oh, if you could get that book. That is, I haven't read it in a long time. But here, I think he lived on 10% of what he made. I might be wrong on that. My statistics might be off. And he gave 90% away to the Lord. But he's the one that created these huge earth-moving machines where you stand here and the wheel of that machine is as big as this screen here, or bigger. You know, amazing. And that was Abraham. He was wealthy, but he walked with God. And the Bible says that he was a friend of God. You see, and at the same time, riches almost destroyed his nephew Lot. Because Lot looked at that luscious land toward Sodom and he moved toward that. You know, his eyes were on the riches, eyes on the prize, and it almost destroyed his life completely. You see, there's nothing sinful about saving up. In fact, being a good steward. In fact, the Bible in Proverbs says, go to the ant, you sluggard, who prepares his food in the summer and gathers in the harvest. In other words, here, there's planning, there's preparation, there's thought in saving up. But you see, it's important that you own your possessions and your possessions don't own you. There's been a big downturn now. How have you felt about that? Have you had sleepless nights because you don't have in your funds what you used to? Well, maybe that's an indication that those possessions are owning you. I think a lot, they see that they don't have what they had, you know, before this downturn and before the shutdown and stuff. But, you know, it's all God's in the first place. They've got enough, you know, they got a roof over their head. They got food to eat. And if they don't come down here, maybe we'll have another grocery drive and feed you. You see, you're not all caught up in that stuff. You see, that's not driving you. I mean, it could drive you. You see, in the bigger picture, God owns it all. God owns everything. You know, in one sense, there was a little bit, I wouldn't say a panic, but a concern for me. You know, when people couldn't come to church for, you know, a couple months, you know, it was online type stuff. Because the church finances are dependent upon people giving. And I had read that 60% of the giving goes down when people aren't here. And so I'm thinking, Lord, you know, in my mind, you know, I'm thinking somehow I'm thinking the worst in one sense. You know, I mean, that's just me. That's just my flesh. That's just a sense of the, you know, the human nature here. Because, you know, we have a mortgage on this property. You know, we paid half of it off or more than half of it off. We have missionaries that out there that are depending upon us. We have a radio station. We have a school. We have, you know, we have a lot staff. We have a bookstore cafe, you know, and I could go on and on and on. And so in one sense, there were times at night I'm just thinking, Lord, you got to provide. And you know, He does. He does provide. And, you know, Chuck has always taught us never to poor mouth the people. Oh, if you don't give, we're going to go out of business. If you don't give, you know, we have a mortgage on this property and we don't, you know, the bank is concerned, so we're concerned, and we don't want to do that. It's God's church. It's God's ministry. It's God's people. You know, I just heard from Earl just today. He said, Bill, it's just amazing what people are giving. It's just amazing. And I'm going, well, praise the Lord. I hope they keep giving, you know. That's good. But, you know, in the day of the Lord, the people volunteer willingly. It says a lot for godly people in situations like this. Because you're probably not doing as good as you used to. But to me, it's a credit to your spiritual life when you continue to give to the ministry. But I have to say, you know, there are times, you know, when we realize, yeah, God owns it all and it is God's, but He's put us as stewards of that. And we want to be faithful to the Lord, and we don't want to overspend, but then again, we don't want to kind of cut off missionaries and say, well, we've got to shrink everything back, although we have in certain areas we have. You know, we're being as frugal as we ever could be. But it's God's ministry. And, you know, He's going to look after it. And so He's entrusted it to us until He comes. So, you know, we're just going to do the best we can. We're stewards of what He's given us, and we're going to give Him an account. And I think if the Lord came back, you know, as we leave this building, if we went out the door and then we went up in the rapture, and the Lord said, okay, give an account. Okay, Lord, I will. And I wouldn't be embarrassed at all. I hope, you know, you wouldn't be embarrassed at all. You see, God owns it all. You see, the Bible tells us in Psalm 62:10, if riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. So you might be doing really well. Well, don't set your heart in there, you know, that, oh, now things are going to really go good. Like the man who built bigger barns. Oh, now I can take my ease for many years. Wait a minute. God broke in and said, your life is required of you tonight. And then who's going to own all that? You see, so don't set your heart in it. And that's Psalm 62:10, but Proverbs 10:22 says, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. So if God increases, it's just like, oh, Lord, You're so good. Why do you give me so much? Lord, I thank You for that. You know, you're not ashamed of it. You're not sorrowful for it. It doesn't make you more greedy. Probably makes you more of a giver than anything. You see, God's going to look after your finances if you look after your fellowship with Him. You see, that's what we're learning here. James is giving sound, godly advice. Not to place all our hopes and our dreams in earthly possessions. Not to rely upon, you know, our material things, you know, as a main source of our happiness in the things of the Lord. Some of the people that struggle the most financially are the happiest people. Have you ever gone to a third world country? Have we ever shown you some of the pictures that we've taken from Ethiopia, from Uganda, from Africa, from India, some of these places? Where these kids that are in absolute poverty, they're living in cardboard shacks and they just have a glow on their face. What is that all about? Well, somehow they've learned to appreciate just small things. I know I was in Mexico City. This was years ago with Mike McIntosh. And I can remember walking down the street and these poor people, these ladies, you know, they have like a serape, but, you know, it's just a covering, and they're actually sitting and sleeping in the street there. And, you know, we went up and we prayed for this one lady, you know, and she went out to shake my hand. And I shook her hand, and she had a coin in it. She had a piece of money in her hand. She wanted to give it to me. And it almost it didn't appall me, but it's almost like, oh, no, I don't want that. Freely I have received, freely I give, although I didn't speak Spanish, you know, so I couldn't say too much, but it's amazing how generous poor people are and how happy poor people are. It's the poor of this world that are rich in faith, the Bible says. You know, how do you figure that? Well, he's not talking about that right now, but he's talking about those that do have a lot, but then they're trusting in what they have. You see, James is giving us that sound wisdom. Matthew tells us in Matthew 6, 19 on, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You see, these earthly things, they're just things. They're all going to burn. They're just things. They're not going to last. You know, I've bought two new cars. One in 1971 was a brand new Volkswagen van for my surfboard business. I think it was $2,100-something, brand new van. I had it for a long time. Great running car. And then a number of years back, you know, I had a car that was just totally gone. I need another car. I took the Nita's car in for service, and I noticed there at Nissan, you know, they had a Pathfinder. And I thought, I need a car. So I bought a new Pathfinder. But I remember when I had the car, I pulled up in the sandy beach. It was brand new. It was only probably a week old. And I'm looking at the surf, and here's some tourists pull up next to me. And I thought, they better not open their door. All of a sudden, girls get out of the back of the truck, and they open at the doors, and bang, it hit my car. I said, "Don't you know this is a new car?" I was so un-Christian, un-pastor-like. I said, "This is a new car. What are you doing?" You know, I don't know all I said. I repented and forgot about it. The Lord forgets about all of our deeds, but I was so uptight about that. And then later I thought, that was a bad witness. And this is just a thing. You know, if after a few years, it gets a number of miles on it, and then eventually, you know, it's somebody else needs it. So I gave it away and bought another car, a used truck from somebody right up the street here who has had his grandchildren in our school. But you see, it's not, you know, we can't set our heart on those things, and that's so easy to do.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study in the book of James, chapter 5. You can hear or watch this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. Take advantage of our vast media archive.
We really appreciate any word back from our listeners. If you'd like to reach us with a note, a comment, or even some financial support, you can do so online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com.
Now may the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah.
next time on As We Gather. We'll continue in James chapter 5. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.